day. Sister Ivory, praise God that there are some things about us, all of us, there are some things about me, praise God, that may irritate you to death. There might be some things about you that irritates me, praise God. But what the scripture is saying is that the believer must put on, praise God, this garment of forbearance. Amen. The believer is to forbear the flaws of others. How many? Let me see the hands of everybody that don't have a flaw in here. Praise God. Thank you. Every last one of us got a flaw. And we have to, praise God, forbear those who have flaws just like they have to forbear us with our flaws. You know, the reason why I say that, praise God, we have to put up with the weaknesses of others. You want a scriptural reference to that? Paul writing to the Roman church at Romans chapter 15, verse 5. He writes these words. He said, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, praise God, and not to please ourselves. So we have to clothe ourselves with this garment of forbearance. Oh, I'm just about home. Praise God, and I hope that you got most of your clothes on. See, the believer must also put on the garment of forgiveness. See, forgiveness is the logical result of all that Paul has written so far in our text. It is not enough that the believer must endure grief and provocation and refuse to
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. We'll be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
KAYTKQJO.
Awesome Reuben, gentle redeemer. God with us, yeah.
You are tuned into the spiritual
heart.
In an in-depth
but when we put it all together, this is what we'd like to call you, Jesus, Jesus.
Let's tune in. That's what as evangelist Ronald Bell takes you further.
You were born
into the word
in a manger.
Praise the Lord, saints. We're still talking to you about the promises and provisions that God has given the church. We just want to keep your hearts and minds flooded with the promises and the provisions that God has made available to us and for us through Jesus Christ. We want to speak the word with clarity, power, authority, and demonstrations of that power. The power of God is the very same power that was given on the day of Pentecost after Jesus ascended into heaven. We need to recognize that this is the very same power that we have received from God. Praise the Lord. It is that one and the self-same power that Jesus used when he raised the dead to cast out demons and devils, and he healed the lame that they could walk straight. You know, he cleansed the lepers so that they could return to regular life and live in society among people. It's the very same power that moved on the waters and turned it into blood when Moses was getting the children of Israel released from bondage out of Egypt. It's that very same power that raised Jesus from the dead. It's that very same power. Glory to God. Now I just want you to think about this power and see if you can muster up enough respect and courage so that you can see that it's that same power, so spectacular, so mind-boggling, mind-blowing, and so miracle-minded, you know, supernatural works. If you can see it that way, that could be why, you know, we treat these kingdom works in such a way that we just read them and we don't think about that we should do them, we should practice them, or that they are really true. We need to get down on our knees, pleading and begging God to endow us, glory to God, with that awesome power, that devil-destroying sickness and disease-moving power. We need it right now. We need to tell God, Lord, we need it right now in the name of Jesus. You know, it would be, it could be, I'm just saying this now, it could be that most of the church don't recognize that the supernatural is important to God. It's supernatural, and it's all the works of God. They're supernatural. It could be that the church don't recognize that, don't understand that, or maybe they don't want to understand that. God is a spirit. He told us in his word he was a spirit, and he's looking for such to work with him. The people that are in spirit and in truth, those are the ones that he's looking for. You know, everything of the kingdom of God, it came to us by the way of Jesus Christ through the Spirit. Praise God. And it's time to wake up, saints. It's time for us to wake up, to stir up your pure minds, because we're embarking upon the end of the end of the last days, the last times. We can't serve God by living on the outskirts of the Word of God any longer. We must be all in. You know, I give this example. You know, how do we know that this is true? Well, if you take a can, just a little old plain can of soup, and you're just rubbing your hands on the top of that can, you know, you want the soup, but you're just rubbing your hands on top of that can. How many know you have to open that can? Get your hands off that can and just open it. And then you can pour out that soup and you can eat that soup. Well, that's the way it is with the Word of God. You can't just live on the surface of the Word of God. Just the surface part. You got to get down into the meat of the Word of God. That's where we have to get to. So I want to read 2 Peter 3, the third chapter, verses 1 through 10. So you can see and maybe get an understanding of just what I'm trying to explain to you in this lesson and in these scriptures. It's 2 Peter 3, 1 through 10. This second epistle, beloved, I'll now write unto you. He said, this second epistle I'll now write unto you, both which I stir up your mind, your pure mind, by way of remembrance. This is what he's saying. I'm going to stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance. He's going to cause and call to remembrance what was said. Verse 2, that ye may be, that you might be mindful of the word which was spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of the apostles of the Lord our Savior. Verse 3, knowing that first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. And you know, scoffers are people that mock religion, and they make fun of religion. And there will come scoffers walking after their own lust. See, this is what they're trying to hide. They're walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? See, this is what they're saying and talking about God, Jesus. Well, where is the promise of his coming? You don't have to worry about that. He's coming. You know, this is what they're saying. You know, they're not so much as criticizing religion. They're just ignoring it. You know, they have turned away from the truth and began going into their own ways. I'm especially speaking to the young folks, and unfortunately, some of the old folks also. You know, and many preachers and pastors have gone astray in certain ways also. So verse 4 says, you know, and some are saying, so where is the promise of this coming? From since the fathers fell asleep. Listen at this now. They understand that part. From since the fathers fell asleep, all things continued as they were from the beginning. They say all things just continued where they were from the beginning of the creation, they said. Verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. They understood that. Verse 6, whereby the world that they the world that then was being overflowed with water, it perished. See, they understood that the world at that time was overflooded with water, and it perished. Verse 7, but the heavens and earth, which are now by the same word, this is the same word God spoke, the same word, are kept in store, reserved for fire against the day of the judgment and the perishing of ungodly men. See, they don't understand that the fire is coming. It's the Bible says in the last days, you know, when he come back, the world is not going to be destroyed by water again. It's going to be destroyed by fire. And they don't know that it's the perdition of ungodly men that's going to be destroyed. It's those very people that's making fun of the gospel now and turning and doing their own thing. Those are the ones that it's going to perish, and they don't even know it. Verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. See, he's not like men. God is not a man. So when he says something, it's so much different. It's eons difference between what God say and what a man will say. Because man will just open his mouth and say anything. He say, he's not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. But is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come in repentance, unto repentance. And verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away in a great noise. You see what he said? The heavens is going to pass away in a great noise. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. My God. The earth shall also, and the works that are therein, the earth is going to melt away also, and the works that therein shall be burned, as they're going to be burned up. Praise God in the name of Jesus. Saints, we need to get it right, and we need to get it right now. Verse 11, I know he asked this question, seeing then that all these things shall come to pass. What manner of person should you be in your conversation, in your godliness? He asked that question. What kind of person should you be in your conversation and in your godliness? You know, we should, Everything that we do should be of God.